Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take Newsletter. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. We work with speculators and hedgers, online trading and broker-assisted. We also have a mix of both for our hybrid category. If you'd like to work with me, or if you are a client and need to do something, please give me a call anytime. 312-706-7610. 312-706-7610. I do write a newsletter, Turner's Take. If you'd like to take a look at that, you can always text the number 33777. That's 33777 with the message Turner, my last name. Follow the instructions, and you can get that. And yeah, let's get to it. So, looks like the markets have really started to settle in here. It's still some volatility, but nothing like from the beginning of the virus. There's been some talk of a vaccine. You know, we don't know what that's going to really be like. We're seeing states open back up. My state, Illinois, has not really, but we're hopeful for June it will, as other states around the country open up. If the goal was to flatten the curve, that is what's happened. If the goal is to make sure no one gets it again, that's going to be difficult. And there's going to have to be some kind of happy medium between economic activity and flattening the curve and the virus while people are still figuring out treatments and hopefully one day some kind of vaccine. So that is where we are, and things are starting to get better, and you can see that in the markets. So from a macro view, stock market's recovered. Looks like the bottom is in, and it looks like the depression is off the table. Still, you know, we're going to have a recession, and it's going to take some while to come back. But, you know, no depression, no failure of the financial system is always a good thing. And then crude oil is starting to look better. So I do like buying crude. I want to buy the next dip. I do think that the one thing that really concerned me heading into the June expiration is of what if the June expiration of crude looked like May. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. People are driving. Economic activity is coming back. I don't think crude's going to 100, but I do think the worst is behind us. And even if there are dips, and maybe, who knows, production comes back too fast. But there are draws in gasoline. So I like it. And the low level that crude oil and gasoline is already, you just got to find a way to get into it and just dial down the leverage so you can hold it for a while or trade it by buying the dips. But I do like it. I think there's good reasons to start to get long crude. RBOB, heating oil, you know, around these prices. And if you're more of a long-term buyer, just wait for the next dip to do it. If you're a momentum guy, you can wait for the breakout here. Something, I'll put some charts up, but I like December crude. And if we're trading, you know, breaking out above like 35 or 36, something like that, that seems like real positive momentum if that happens. And then again, any kind of dips back to the 30s seem like a value now on the December crude. Also, from a macro perspective, you know, stock market seems to be hanging in there too. So when I look at the macro markets right now, I'm really just looking at the energy and the stocks and make sure the bonds aren't going crazy. I don't spend a whole lot of time looking at the dollar just because the dollar is going to stay elevated for a while. And, you know, that's, you know, you got to think about it this way. You know, everyone's being affected by the virus. Everyone's trying to prop up their economy or send stimulus. And at the end of the day, the economy that ends up coming back faster or has more growth or, can start doing business again, they'll all tend to come back together. So I don't see a huge swing in the currencies either way in the meantime. So that is the macro landscape, which means depression's probably off the table. We're looking at a recession, and things are already starting to get better. I know the White House talked a little bit about the recovery being much faster and stronger than they originally thought. There'll be a recovery. It's still going to take, this year and into next year to really get, going to where we were. But it really seems like we'll get back here. The thing is, some people are concerned about a second wave. What happens when we get to the flu season this winter? We'll just have to see. I'm sure a lot more precautions will be made this time around than last time. When you look at a place like South Korea and Japan and how they handled it, they've been through these kind of things before, like with SARS. So, the next time this happens, or if there is a second wave, or if we have to tighten up social distancing again, probably won't be as extreme as it was this time around, right? So that at least is the hope. So that's the macro picture, which to me is neutral to starting to be bullish. On the grain markets, I think there are two markets that are – we'll talk about the bull stories first. One is soybean oil. We have hit some bottoms on the charts here. And palm oil, vegetable oil around the world, is rallying. There is a need for it, and there is a demand story, and there's still a supply issue with it. So the bean oil market – it does have a good story here. It's one of the fewer bull stories, but if you remember, before the whole coronavirus thing, bean oil was high and bean oil was strong, and it really came down to test the bottom of the range. So, now with demand picking up, supply being a question, and the oils actually has a better demand figures than the meal. Right now, no one crushes beans for oil, or I shouldn't say nobody, but most of the time you don't usually crush the beans for the meal. And if the meal demand's lower right now, or if it's just adequate, the oil still has potential to go higher. So I do think that's interesting. The other one that's interesting is the wheat. So there are two things that happened, one yesterday, one today with wheat. Yesterday was rumors of China buying. I haven't seen evidence of it, but there are rumors of China buying wheat. And then today there were rumors of Russia having to basically cut down their production. The USDA has production for Russian wheat of about 77 million metric tons. There were thoughts today, rumor mill, total rumor mill on the internet and Twitter and between the trade desks, that it could be 5 million metric tons lower. And even if it's a couple million metric tons lower, the thing is, with Russia, in the grand scheme of things, it's not doing a big deal to the global balance sheet of wheat. But it is taken away from exportable stocks. And also, countries don't cut back on domestic use. They cut back on what they want to sell. So, a place like the United States, we don't put export quotas on. But what happens in the markets is, we basically price ration exports. In a place like Russia, they would just cap exports, and so prices don't get too high, and they have plenty of wheat internally in the domestic market, so and in the interior. So that's how they would deal with it, right? And if they do that, then that would cause wheat in other exporting markets, like the United States, to go higher because we get more of an export share. That was the thought. Again, all rumor mill. The Chinese stuff yesterday was all rumors. The Russian stuff today was all rumors. But that's how you get the pop in wheat. And if you look at it, we were down 5 cents and then up 15. We had like a 20-cent range really out of nowhere. It was like 10 or 11 o'clock this morning. And, if you walked away and then came back to the computer, you're like, what? What just happened here? So that's going to be interesting. It's all led by the soft red winter wheat, the Chicago contract, which is the one that has all the money flow in it right now. And the other wheats were followers. It did help soybeans rally a little bit today. It, corn was down 2 to 3 cents, and it helped it get back to like unchanged or even. So that was tough. That was tough for corn. Crude's rallying. We got some weather issues or, planting delays. We could talk of acres switching. There's better demand for energy and ethanol, and corn really can't do a whole lot right now. But I'll get to the bear side in a second. So going forward here, and I'm going to be writing in my client email here about bean oil and about wheat, most likely, today through Friday. On corn, on the bearish side, I'm long-term, I'm bearish on corn, and over the medium term, I'm neutral. I could even be talked into some short-term bullish stuff with corn, but you know, over the medium to long-term, I'm really not. So here's the thing with corn. You know, ethanol demand is probably 200 million bushels too high on the corn balance sheet. And the reason being is ethanol actually has made some headlines here, you know, where the demand has gone up, stocks have come down. We've had more processing corn into ethanol. I think we're at 195 million gallons last week. That was a six-week high. The problem is the marketing year ends August 31st, starts up again September 1st. You know, we're in mid-May. So we got the rest of May, then we got June, July, August. 3 months. You got 3 months and a week or two, right, to hit goals on there. And the thing is, we need to average 275 million gallons a week between now and the end of the month, I mean the end of the summer, and we're only at 195. So not only do we have to get up another 100 million basically and then exceed it to make up, you know, what we're losing, you know, in the margins. So I don't think that's going to happen. I am more bullish about ethanol for new crop, but as far as old crop goes, I still think we're going to see about 200 million come off, which means, and that's demand you never get back. So that 200 million makes old crop stocks go up 200 million. It also makes the new crop stocks go up 200 million. And you can make some arguments, too, that ethanol takes a little bit of a hit next year for new crop. Little, though, kind of like in the margins, and maybe not even too much to talk about. And that just has to do with the whole biodiesel and the fact that sugar is so cheap, and there'll be less exports, less corn, less ethanol exports out of the United States because it'd be probably too much competition for a low price like sugar-based biodiesel. But, again, that we're talking like 25 million bushels, you know. Not a huge thing on the balance sheet. So that's the corn side. So to me, yeah, July corn can maybe go up into, you know, I think 325 is a resistance point, then the 330s if it gets up there. You know, new crop corn, 340, you know, if you get a summer rally or something, maybe we get up to 350 at some point. I don't know. It's tough to see. I think what it's more likely, though, is we eventually just do the slow leak. As the weather premium comes out, we'll probably have the slow leak to three. There is a lot of talk about switching. I've heard a lot of people talk about not as much corn. I think a lot of corn's got planted. I think a lot of corn will get planted. Now, up in the Dakotas, we'll have less corn. I think in the Midwest, where planting's going really well, we could even have more corn. I do think down in the Delta, they'll be switching. I wouldn't be surprised if we have 95 million acres of corn. But 95 million acres of corn, so let's say we lose 2 million acres of corn, 2 million times, let's say, 175, so that's 350 million bushels, and let's see, you'll lose 200 to 250 million bushels from the ethanol demand, which we most likely will. You know, all of a sudden, like, losing 2 million bushels kind of negates the ethanol loss we're going to have, right? And we're still at about a 3.2 or 3.3 billion carryout. Not as bad as, you know, the 4 billion that the real doomsayers were and I thought was the worst case scenario. But we're not getting back to 2.5 billion anytime soon. And 2.5 billion isn't all that great either. So I still think we're in the low 3 billion carryout for the new crop and like 2.4 for the old crop. Somewhere in there. So that to me is the slow leak lower. If we get the rallies, I like selling calls on new crop. I may even like straddles or just, I kind of like just selling calls though. Anything in storage, anything you plan on storing, anything to add on top of sales, I kind of like that too. So that's where I am on the corn market. Soybeans, I'm actually a little bit more bullish. Along with the oil, I guess I'm more bullish on the soybean oil and the wheat. And the beans, I'm just kind of neutral on. Like, one of the spec trades we've been talking about is long soybeans and short corn. You know, if we do get a weather rally, I think soybeans goes up higher than corn. If we don't get a weather rally and things are, you know, production is as it, you know, is, I think corn goes down more than soybeans, you know, on a relative basis. So I still like that spread. I'm still sticking with that Wheat versus corn might be interesting too. If the China buying interest is real, and so is the, you know, the what's going on in Europe and the Black Sea, I think that would concern me more. Actually, the production issues they can have in the Black Sea. So those are the ideas. So we're going to be looking at long ideas in soybean oil. I'm actually going to be looking at long ideas in wheat. Last week I was looking at bearish ideas in wheat, which is just so telling of how these markets can change on a dime. But weather can do that. You can get a weather issue and a China demand issue so fast, right? I mean, if China really does buy wheat and we really do have a drought in the Black Sea, Russia area, then, you know, you kind of got to take whatever notions you had or you worked on for the markets before. Those have got to change. So that is where we sit. Still fundamentally bearish on corn, though. We know anything can happen the next couple weeks or months due to weather issues. Soybean oil looks like a good demand driver. Like the stock market, like crude oil, staying away from natural gas. And then as far as the meats go, they have just got a huge... that is a mess. So the livestock market's just a mess right now. And you've got a situation where... I mean, I was in my grocery store, and, you know, meat prices were high, and there wasn't a lot of it. And the stuff they did have was marked down cheap because the expiration was almost due. It's just a whole mess over there. And then, you know, you hear about the Packers, how they're not running at capacity because of COVID, and, you know, there's issues in the middle of the slaughterhouse and the capacity. And then you've got all these animals basically being backed up, you know, in the hog and in the cattle. And it's just going to take a long time, it seems like, to get through that capacity. So, I mean, you look at the forward curve in the hog market, you know, the front months and the fall are just pricing in a ton of animal protein, a ton of animals. And this is for livestock too. In the back end of the curve, it starts to get better for the hogs, I would say, in the spring. I still like buying Deese hogs under 50. I've been saying that for a while. But that's a cheap price, right? And you would think that the market's forward thinking. And if we get to the fall, you would think that hogs would be coming back up again. I still also like December cattle, live cattle under 100. And historically, when it gets below 100, it tends not to live there long. You can make the case we're going to be backed up in cattle for a while. That may be true. But I do think as the recovery happens, we'll chew through those supplies. It could last some time, but I like cattle. I like December cattle below 100. I like December hogs below 50. But just so everyone knows, that's just a deep value play. It's not like I'm calling for some huge rally in the hog and the live cattle market. It's just too hard with what's going on. When we need the processing, the slaughterhouses, the packers to get back up to either at or close to full capacity. And then we got to start chewing through the supply on the animal side. And it's going to take some time. You know, when it gets going, and we'll see it on the charts. We'll see it in the trade. Hopefully exports get better, but it's just going to take some time. So those are my ideas right now on the livestock market. It is going to be, it's going to take time to churn through all of that, all the supply out there. So kind of neutral in the near term on livestock, like the back months. I think there's value there. Oh, and, you know, and energy to go back to before. I think there's some value in December. So that's how we're going to structure our trades and our positions. If anyone wants to work with me, you can give me a call, 312-706-7610. If you're a client, I'm going to make sure you're getting my client emails when we send out trades. We can also do it by text. Let me know. I'm doing more through the actual trade recs through client emails now than I used to be. And it's just going to depend on the week on how active we are. Or if you like some of these ideas in the podcast and you want to put a trade around it, I'm happy to do that. I actually do that a lot. You know, people say, hey, I heard you talking about selling calls on new crop corn. I like that idea. How should we go about doing that? And then we can do it. So, you can also use me for that. Again, if you like Turner's Take, please go to, you know, iTunes and give it a positive rating. The more people who like it, the more people will follow us. If you want to try out my newsletter, you can try it out for free. All you got to do is get on your phone and text the message Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R, to number 33777. All my contact information is in the show notes. And, yeah, if you want to work with me or you like any of the I's ideas, or if you're a farmer and you want to put something into a marketing plan, give me a call. Have a great night, everyone, and I will talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.